And then God's people in all these organizations, if they're really God's people, they got the unity of the Spirit. And all God has to do to bring us back together, amen, is to bring us in the unity of the faith. We've already got one Spirit.
Amen.
Now, he causes people to worship this beast. Amen. Well, somebody said, how's he do it? Well, he don't do it out in the open. You can bet on that. Because a lot of people wouldn't do it if they knew what they's doing. But they don't know the truth of the matter. Let's look at it. Let's read it carefully and make sure it says that. 12th verse said he exercised all the power of the first beast before it, and causes the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Well, how in the world does he do it? Verse 13 and 14. He doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven, we'll deal with it after a bit, on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them. Now here's how he does it. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound of the sword and did live.
Yeah.
Tell these people over here, he deceives them. And they don't know what they're doing when they do it. And through his deception, causes them to make an image to this beast. So through this image, they actually worship this beast and no more. The deception. Now how's he deceive them into making an image? Well, first let's understand what an image is. An image, according to Webster, is an imitation, representation, a copy. Now think with me tonight. How does the devil cause the people of Protestantism to make an image to the first beast? Or make an imitation, or a representation, or a copy of the first beast? How does he do it? By getting Protestantism to set up an ecclesiastical organization that's a spitting image of Roman Catholicism. Revelation 17 tells us that this here is symbolized, Roman Catholicism is symbolized as a corrupt prostitute or a great whore. Protestantism is symbolized by her daughters, and they're all harlots. How does it cause Protestantism to make a spitting image of this? By setting up an ecclesiastical organization just like this.
Amen.
Protestantism pulled out. Luther's message was, that thing is of man.
Sure.
It's got a man at the head of it.
Yeah.
It's governed by man-made doctrines.
Sure.
So he came preaching the word of God, but his followers turned right around and made an image to the beast. How? They set up a human organization, got a man at the head of it. Human councils govern it. And the thing govern their people is not the truths of God's word, but the doctrines of the church. Somebody said, well, how did he deceive them? Why, he told you he deceived them by the fire that he brought down from heaven. How did he bring fire down? You follow me right here. When the Wesleys came preaching a second work of grace, John Wesley, my friend, John Wesley or Charles, don't hold me to it. I'll have to read again. John or Charles Wesley, whichever one was the shoe clerk, which one was it? You don't know any more about it than I do. Charles, I believe. Whichever one was the shoe clerk. My friend waiting on a man that was a Christian one day down at his feet. He never knew God or anything about God. That man said to him when he got his shoes tied and stood up, he said, did you ever think of this? And John or Charles said to him, what? That there's no limitations what God can do with a man that's unreservedly given in his hand. And that stirred his soul. He couldn't get away from it. Made an imprint upon him. It stirred his soul till he got away and got on his knees and told God, "I'm that man. Here I am. Take me. Cleanse me. Use me." He didn't pray through. The Spirit of God didn't move on him then, but he got on the street corner at a lunch hour on the street corner. My friend in England, and the power of God fell on him, and he fell flat on his back. They carried him into the store and were going to get a doctor. He said, "Lord, turn this off so I can get home." Read the history.
Amen.
Brother, what a shite and time he had. And he preached the second work of grace, the baptism of fire and the Holy Spirit, and set England on fire. He come across the ocean and set the United States on fire. His followers built the Methodist Church. Brother, they called fire down from heaven. Amen. I don't believe that this is a deceptive fire at all. It don't come down from heaven. This is worked up business. Brother, they called fire down from heaven. Amen. And anybody that's ever been around old-time Methodism knows they shouted and run the aisles and praised God. You could hear them from miles away. Well, not long ago, a woman last summer out of God's Acres, I never saw her before. She was in the service, and there was rejoicing that night when I was preaching. A couple people shouted, and when she went out, shook my hand at the door with tears running down her cheek. She said, "Brother Wilson," said, "this is just the way the Methodist Church used to be." They had fire, brother. They had real glory in their soul, something to shout about. Why, somebody said, "I don't think you ought to make any noise." You don't. Why, people go to a ball game and call somebody, throws a ball through an iron hoop, they holler till they're wild. Then you mean to tell me that if God saves your soul from sin, writes your name down in heaven, give you peace in your soul, that he don't want you to praise him a little bit? Why, the morning church, when the Holy Ghost fell on them, the scripture said they went out in the street and praised God till the people come down and said they're drunk.
Amen.
Well, I know the world has been far removed from that, but when you get the glory in your soul, amen, it'll make you laugh, it'll make you cry. Ain't no telling what, just what it'll make you do. It'll all be in decency and order, and it'll be to the glory of God. Brother, they called fire down from heaven.
Amen.
Miracles was wrought. What kind of miracle? Brother, every time the Bible talks about miracles, it don't mean somebody got healed of a disease. Miracles was wrought. What kind of miracle? Drunkards were saved from sin, and the glory was put in their soul. Men and women deep in sin. Brother, Christianity is a miracle. And the fire came from heaven. Wesley brothers, in my friend, those reformers went forth putting fire, but along came this spirit, this beast spirit, and said, "Let's build an organization." And so they built an organization, my friend. In the Methodist Creed, you can see it right up there, is just repentance, justification, sanctification, holiness. Go look in the creed. They don't believe it anymore. I don't know what they are now. They ain't Methodists. Methodists believe in shouting, praising God, and had fire in their soul. I don't know what they are, but they took those truths and made a creed. And the minute they made a creed, they made an image to this beast. Amen. Somebody says, "Don't believe it." My friend, today people are not governed by the Word of God. They're governed by the teaching of the church. I give you a living example. You can go to the Roman Catholic and read to him right from the Scripture. And he'll see it right in there and say it's Scripture. Well, he said, "Yeah, that's what the Bible said, but our church don't teach it." So he's not governed by the Bible, he's governed by the teaching of the church. You can go to a Methodist, amen, you can go to Presbyterian, you can go to United Brethren, and show them what the Scripture said, let them read it themselves. "Yeah, I see it in the book, but our church don't teach it." Brother, they're not guided by the Word of God, they're guided by the teachings of their church. And that's the image, if you please. It's a spitting image of this thing. Just more deceptive, because it looks like Christianity. It claims to be protesting this, but all the while it's protesting it. It's building an image to it all the time. The devil's back of it, and people deceived him. somebody said he said they'd worship that image. That's exactly where the sad part is. Some people have really got an experience with God. They really got saved and joined that thing. They're not worshiping that thing, they're worshiping God. But there's millions today that have no experience whatsoever. They just joined that thing and they're worshiping that, not worshiping God.
Amen.
That's the bad part. Somebody said, how do you know they're worshiping that? Well, I've told you lots of times when I was a sinner and worked at Owens Corning, I saw that truth. Somebody said, how'd you see it? Well, I could tell right then who was worshiping God and who was worshiping some church. We sat at noon hour and sometimes told stories and sometimes they wasn't too clean. And them religious folks, I didn't claim any experience. Them religious folks sat right there and tell it with a laugh. And they'd tell them and drag God's name into it to put the punch to it. Take his name in vain. Didn't bother them a bit. Well, brother, somebody say something about the Baptist church. God, won't you say nothing about the Baptist? I'll mash your head in. Now, who is they worshiping, God or the Baptist? Same thing's true today. You can say anything about the Bible you want, but don't say nothing about that religion right there. Brother, I can come here. People can come right in here. I can preach against sin. If I don't get on their sin, it's all right. Amen. I can preach against Roman Catholicism. It's all right. I can preach against the Jews. They said, go right ahead. But if I come down and hit that religious rack there in,
amen.
Now what are you worshiping? You're worshiping an image. And that image is built to this. Protestant churches tonight, amen, let's just pour all the vial out. Any church you can join tonight. I said anyone, and that's what I mean. Any church you can join tonight was started by some man or group of men. And it's just as human as this thing is. Got a man at the head of it, council, set the ministers in, just like the Catholic. Come on. Protestantism come out and they said they named their churches wrong. The Catholic Church, now I'll show you the spitting image. Here's Catholic Church. You go down over the country and it used to be, at least you saw St. Mary's, you say that's a Catholic edifice. St. Luke's, that's a Catholic edifice. But brother, now, come on. I'm going to show you a spitting image. Now it's St. Luke. Lutheran.
Amen.
St. Mary's Episcopal.
Amen.
Spitting image. Spitting image. And God still says, come out of her, my people. Lest you be a partaker of their evil deed.
Amen.
For her sin has reached unto heaven. Her sin will not be healed. Her hurt will not be healed. Come out of her and be ye separate.
Amen.
Amen. So she makes an image. May God help us to see. Somebody said, is that all the image? The image is made up of basically four things. First of all, it's made up, my friend, this image that she makes is made up by making a human name. You read, pardon me, names of blasphemy. The next thing, by making a human creed or dogma. The next thing, my friend, by another spirit moving in. We'll study about it shortly. The dogma of the Catholic belief proclaims a purgatory. Most every Protestant belief, come on now, has got an image of that thing.
Amen.
What is it? Some kind of a millennium.
Right.
Another chance after death.
Amen.
No truth in it whatsoever. Brother, when Jesus appears again, the earth will be destroyed and the elements will melt with fervent heat. It'll be burned up. Not over. There'll never be another rain on this earth. No kind. Just an image. Just an image. This 15th verse said, and he had power, who did, this first beast that the image was made to. He had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Now you all know as well as I do that every living body is animated by a spirit. The life is in the spirit. In fact, if you get the Greek, I believe it says there, he had power to give, instead of giving life to the image of the beast, to give a spirit to the image of the beast. The life is in the spirit. And every religious body is animated by a spirit. Now, if I name out a certain body, don't think I've got anything against them. But the sectarian spirit of a Baptist body will lead people into that body. Sectarian spirit of a Methodist body will lead people into that body. But the Bible said, if God is permitted, what his one Holy Spirit will cause us all to be baptized into one body and made to drink of one spirit. What body? The body of Christ, the church of the living God.
Praise the Lord.
16th verse said he causes all, both small and great, rich, poor, bond, or free. See, that don't make any difference whether you're saved, whether you're not. Rich or poor in the revelation, my friend, is dealing with spiritual things. Somebody said, I don't believe third chapter of Revelation when he wrote the Laodiceans. He said, you say you're rich and know not that you're poor, wretched, blind, and naked. What kind of rich are you talking about? Spiritual riches. People, my friend, whose spirit is poor. You get, have them make a mark. Put the mark on them. And if they're rich, if they're really saved and got a good spiritual experience, they get a mark on them. Whether they're bound or whether they're free. What kind of freedom? The Word of God said the truth will make you free. If the Son of Man makes you free, you'll be free indeed. Got freedom. Amen. He puts a mark on them. And if you come bound, still bound with the liquor habit, still bound with the drink habit, the cigarette habit, any of these other habits that bind people, if you come bound, he put a mark on you. Take them all in. Why? The big interest this thing's after is to get members. Paul said they glory in your flesh. Why do they glory in your flesh? Because every pastor of these human organizations was set there by counsel. Holy Ghost didn't set him there. He don't have to answer the Holy Ghost. He has to answer the council. And if he don't show some progress in that congregation during the year, whether they're live members or dead members, so they're on the book. He's going to get a smaller church. So brother, he'd take them in. Brother Smith's a holler. He just got out of that mess. He said he does too. He knows what it is to get shipped around. All right. My friend, they'll mark you bond or free, rich or poor. The big item is get you on that church record. Somebody said, I don't believe that beast spirit works. Then why, when people are wonderfully saved at a sectarian altar, how's come the preacher hounds them to death to join the church?
Amen.
Joining the church don't give you salvation. He admits they're already saved, but he just follows them around and tracks them till he gets them to join that church. Why? Brother, he don't get no record for you just because you got saved. He can't go tell counsel. Brother, 50 people got real salvation. They're shouting, they're praising God. Counsel says, are they on the book? Well, no. Well, they don't mean nothing.
Amen.
Can't take the name off the book. My, my, my. All right. So he takes in all kinds. What for? To build up membership. Build up membership. Well, somebody said, Brother Wilson, that was back there in England and Germany. Well, I showed you how to hop to the United States. And the same organizations built right here. Now come on. These all organizations that were established this 350 years, we had time to turn to the 11th chapter, it'll speak of it as 3 days and a half, 3 centuries and a half, 350 years from 1530 to 1880, these organizations that were built between these dates, they're dead now. Hard to find a one where there's still enough gospel preached to get somebody really saved. And brother, if there isn't enough gospel preached to get somebody really saved, it takes the same gospel preached to save people does feed the same. And the people are dying, they're starving. There's a famine, as the scripture said, in this land. Famine in this land. Now somebody said, well, what about the holiness movements? Where did it come from? Out of the old rank, out of the old root Methodist church, when she began to die, when she began to lose her spirituality, out of her sprang the Nazarene, the West End Methodists, the Free Methodists. How come they sprung? Said, you people ain't standing for the message Wesley did. They come out standing for holiness, preaching the old-time Methodists. My friend, B.T. Roberts, led the Free Methodists out, and he said, we're free. We're not going to be bound by the fetters of the Methodist creed. But what did they do? Turned right around and made them a creed. They got a council now. See, friends, the same deceptive Satan. My friend, he gets the people to move out and take their liberty, but he turns right around and deceives them into making another image to the beast. Friends, tonight, well, somebody said, how can you keep from it? Why, we'll prove to you that even when the Church of God movement come out, they've turned around and the deceptive power of Satan has caused them to do the very same thing. God is still calling a people out, my friend, to stand on his eternal word led by the Spirit of God with no human headquarters whatsoever but heaven. The biggest unit, I proved it to you earlier in these lectures, the largest unit in the Bible is a congregation. Whenever you get any bigger headquarters than that, there's a presiding spirit moves in. And when the presiding spirit moves in, the old beast raises up. And the dogma begins to be laid down. And it's not long to begin to setting people in, setting them out, and doing this work that belongs to God Almighty himself. Amen. So he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, and bond to receive a mark in the right hand and in the forehead. Somebody said, what the world, the mark in the right hand and in the forehead? Well, the simplest way to tell you that, this is a head and hand religion. Ain't a thing in their heart. They get a mark in the right hand or in their forehead. What is the mark? My friend, now come on, this is an image to this beast. How does these people mark theirs? Brother, they either take the little children from 5 years old and teach them catechism. The mark's not on their forehead. The scripture said in their forehead. In their forehead. How do they mark them? By teaching them. Each religious organization teaches the little children their catechism or their doctrine and mark them in the forehead. Amen. The right hand of fellowship is that, my friend, or that right hand mark is the man or woman who's been out in sin, maybe he's never been taught nothing. But when he comes and joins the church and shakes the preacher's hand, he gets marked in the right hand and adheres to that belief or that doctrine.
Amen.
Brother, you can shake the preacher's hand or you shake his arm off up to his Adam's apple. Amen, but that'll never take you into heaven or give you an experience with God. You're going to have to meet the Christ of Calvary through old-time repentance. Confess your sin and let Jesus save you from sin, and he'll write your name down the Lamb's Book of Life, and you don't need it on no church record. Amen. Amen. So may God help us to see it. They get marked in their forehead and in the right hand. And you can tell, somebody said, well, how do you mean they're marked? Why, they're marked? All you got to do is watch people. Amen. It's not so much And now, as it used to be a few years ago, because people don't even live what they believe.
Right.
It was more pronounced a few years ago, but the mark's right on. I'll take some heavier marks first. When you meet a man yet with a wide black brimmed hat and very plain clothes, and his wife beside him with her hair done up and a little cloth bonnet on, you know who they are. The mark's right on them. You see somebody, amen, that down the undertaking parlor that comes up to view a dead body and stops and goes, mark right on. And just keep on going from that. Well, somebody said get down a little closer, get down to something, all right. You see somebody that gets around where a religious service going on and they go, Jesus. You know who they are. The marks right on. False Pentecostal.
Yes, terrible body.
Marks right on. They're marked, my friend, they're living marks of the doctrine. Amen. Well, somebody said, ain't the Church of God got a mark? Yes, sir. John 10:28, God said he had his sheep marked in the ear and in the foot. They hear his voice. Now, how can you tell the people of God? They hear his voice, and they follow him. Amen. The real true mark of the Church of God over the land, brother, they live what they preach. They hear his voice, and they're not only hearers of the word, but they do it. Well, let's go a little farther. Oh, the sadness, friends, of this when we begin to think about it. That many, my friend, tonight, many Catholics think they're saved because a priest by formal rites admitted them into the church. That's what they'll tell you. Many Protestants also believe they're saved because they joined the church. See, it's the same thing. Hell is full of people tonight who had religion but found out too late they didn't have salvation. Wouldn't it be wonderful tonight if there wasn't these false isms, if there wasn't a thing you could join? Come on. If there wasn't a church you could join, if nothing, no matter where you went, every preacher you run into, instead of telling you, come on, you can join our church, would every one of them would tell you, you've got to repent and confess your sins and do a clean work to ever have God in your heart. Now, brother, we'd have 3/4 of the world saved in 30 days' time. But people are finding shorter ways and deceived them. That's why God's against them. Setting images up for people to worship. I told a funeral audience that brother, sister, even the church, as we picture it right here, working, the beast working through the church, my friend, has made a stumbling block for people. Many people got to the church, but they never got to Christ. The church is the bride of Christ. Her mission here is to merely introduce people to Jesus Christ. She must never let them stop short. Amen. Never let a person stop in the assembly of the church. The morning church, it was said about her, no man durst join her, but the more was added to the Lord. Brother, we must live Christ-like. Amen. We must point men and women to the Lamb of God. That takes away the sin of the world, and not let people stop in our midst and feel like they found Christ because they sit among a people that's found Christ. They must individually meet him in a born-again experience themselves. 1 John the 5th chapter and the 12th verse, John said, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. Brother, it's a question tonight. It's not a question of what church you join, whether you're baptized, whether you're sprinkled, whether you're confirmed. Brother, sister, it's a question whether you got Christ this morning, tonight. Does he live in your heart and life? Is he in there? Somebody said he's in there. He can't be in there without manifesting himself on the outside. You can't hide him. No, no, no. Jesus says like a city set on a hill, which cannot be hid. If Jesus is down there, he'll get out. Amen. This thing of people going along saying, Jesus, right down my soul, but ain't nobody found it out. You're deceived. Brother, you can't hide it. Amen. There's been preachers that said the dog will know it and the cattle know it, and I believe that some of that's true. Brother, you'll be different. When Jesus moves in, there'll be a change in your life. One thing for sure, your wife will know it. Or if you're not married, your mom and dad will know it. Brother, sister, you will not be able to tell me that Christ can move into your heart and bring the drastic change that Christianity brings, and you go on and live just like you did. Brother, there's a change coming. Somebody said, now look out. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, he said, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Old things pass away, and behold, all is become new. You tell me that old things pass away and all become new, and ain't nobody going to find it out? There'll be a difference. There'll be a difference. There'll be a difference, and it'll show on you just as sure as the world. Well, let's look a little farther. I'd like to spend more time on these thoughts, but our time is getting away. 17th verse said, let's read the 16th and 17th. And he causes all, both small and great, rich, poor, bond, and free, to receive a mark in the right hand or in the forehead, that no man might buy or sell, save he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. This buying and selling, my friend, a symbolic expression that deals with spiritual buying and selling. Proverbs 23 and 23 says, buy the truth and sell it not. Revelation 18 speaks of Babylon's preachers as merchantmen. What are we selling? Brother, we're selling the gospel. Not for a literal price, but we're selling unto mankind. And they buy the gospel. The buying and selling, if you please, is the ministry, the commodity. The only commodity mentioned in the Word of God is the gospel that's sold, if you please. And men and women lay hold of it at the cost of their lives, if you please. They lay hold of the gospel. But he says you can't buy or sell without the mark of the beast or the number of his name or the name of the beast and so forth. So we see here, my friend, he's telling us right here that a man of God can't sell his message in Babylon unless he belongs to their conference. Neither will they allow their members, if they have any rule over it, to come and hear the truth unless the preacher belongs to their conference. They've all got their mark on it. Let's get the picture. They've set up preacher factories. Come on now. They're cranking out preachers here just like Ford does automobiles. And every one of them come out of their factory preaching their message. You never yet heard of a Lutheran preacher coming out of a Baptist factory. They all come out with their mark on it, preaching their message. Well, somebody said, what about this amalgamation? We'll get to it. Later on in the series, another deception. Yeah. Brother, when people got victory over this deception, the devil come up with a greater one. Here mixing the thing all in together, trying to make people think he's bringing God's people back to the unity that they once had. Brother, not through these beasts.
No,
they always did make war with the saints, and they still are making war with the saints. So the buying and selling is spiritual. You can't sell the message unless you got the mark on. even since it's watered down. Come on now. Even since it's watered down, even since these more modern moves have been made. You can exchange pulpits if you're one of a Babylonian number. But when you stand out clear of them all like I do and preach the truth, they won't let you in none of their pulpits.
Oh, that's right.
Come on, you've got to have the number of their name, one of them. You've got to be one of them. You can change if you please if you're one of them. But when you stand out separate for the word of God and will not have a part of that thing, if you please, and preach a gospel that's calling people out, somebody said, why can't you buy or sell? Because, brother, God's people's down there. And they let you down there to preach this message. You know what's happened. You know what happened. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. You go letting the truth loose, and God's sheep down in there hears that truth, and they follow you right out of there and come on back to Zion, and the preacher's losing their members. It ain't been very long till the sectarian preacher just carried on this town and said, why, Wilson getting the best people we got. And I sent him word to tell him that's who we're supposed to get. Just God's people. That's the best people they got down there. Can't buy or sell unless you got the mark, if you please. Amen. You got to have one of them marks just as sure as we're here. So this system, my friend, of the second beast is Antichrist.
Amen.
Another one of the Antichrist.
Yes.
Actually against Christ. But come on now. But sincere, good-hearted people are laboring. Trying to protest Roman Catholicism of what's happened. The thing's folding up right in their lap. This thing and this beast is coming right back together right in front of them. Brother sent me an article through the paper today from the West that an unheard of thing had been heard in Mexico. They're a little bit stronger there than we are here. A Roman Catholic priest filled a certain denominational pulpit last Sunday morning. Come on. People have been protesting, but all the time they've been protesting. The deceptive power of Satan has caused them to build an image to this beast and made a way for them to get back together. Brother, they're getting back together just as fast as they can. Oh, friend, let me tell you this. You're going to have to get in one gathering or the other. Somebody said, I'm going to stay on middle ground. You can't do it. You're going to have to get in one gathering or the other. You're going to have to come back to the Word of God and be led to the teachings of God's Word and the leadership of the Holy Spirit, or else you're going to be swallowed up in this beast. There's no middle ground. Brother, sister, I pray that God will help you see it tonight. Somebody said, do you think they'll really get together? No, there'll always be differences between them, but they'll join together to fight truth. The scribes and Pharisees couldn't get together. They fuss like cats and dogs. If you want to get a good fuss started, just get the scribes and Pharisees together and bring up the thought of the resurrection. Amen. The Sadducees said there wasn't any resurrection. The Pharisees said there was. And they fussed and fight. But when Jesus cometh the truth, they both join together to fight Jesus. And this thing is joining together even though they're divided among themselves. Brother, they'll join together to fight the precious truth of the gospel. And we're coming into the heated part of the battle. Every one of them going to have to put her flag up one way or the other. Amen. We're going to have to stand. We're going to be called for an individual stand, not only by God, but the very life that we're living in going to call us to take a stand on one side or the other. Amen. Remember now, when Jesus comes, there's just going to be two women grinding at the mill. There's only two women in the Revelation. There's only two women in the Scripture. What is it? The true woman and the false woman. Here's the true woman. Here's the false woman. She's represented clear through here. Brother, the true church and the false church. And she's been divided here, but he's bringing them all back together. There'll be one woman on this eighth beast, and there'll be a true woman. And when he comes, there's just going to be two of them grinding at the mill. What is grinding at the mill? Grinding out the meal or the food. You read in Revelation 21, he'll tell you in the Babylon, there'll be no more sound of the bride, the church, amen, or the voice of the bridegroom, Christ. No, sir, because she's fallen. She's turned to the commandments of men. No, 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 there'll just be two women grinding at the mill. There'll be two furnishing the doctrines for the people. The true church will be furnishing the doctrines of Christ, and this false woman will be grinding out the commandments of men, amen, and the teachings of this eighth beast is developed. But he said one will be taken and the other left. Which one's going to be taken? The true bride, the one he said he's coming back at. Somebody said he's going to come and steal her away. No, you don't have to steal what you paid for. He purchased her with his own precious blood, and he's coming back to get her. And the other will be left, my friend, and taken to perdition. I pray God will help us to see the simple truths of his word. My, my, my. Well, somebody said, unless he had the mark, or unless he had the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Well, we already covered the number, and I'll preach on it again. That 18th verse deals with this number up here at the top of this chart, Vicarius Philadelphia, which adds up to 666, which the Revelation said these numbers. Now, how the sectism, how the number of his name? Vicarius Philadelphia means Viker, the Son of God, equal to the Son of God. What's the Son of God's position? The head of the church. Every one of these human organizations got their own head. Brother, they've got the number of the beast. They're standing in the same place the Pope is. Oh, I can't believe it. Brother, right in your own newspaper, there was a picture of Dr. So-and-so on the front page the other night, the head of the Nazarene church, and it wasn't Jesus Christ. But he got the same numbers the old beast of Rome. He claims he's the head of that organization. That's what the Pope claims he's the head of. Got the same thing, if you please. And Jesus said to come out from among them and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing. So this system is Antichrist too. If a Roman Catholic ever gets to heaven, he'll have to get by his priest and get to God. In old time repentance. If a Protestant ever gets to heaven, he'll have to get by his creed and his preacher and get to God and walk in the light of his word. God is calling his people back to the unity of the morning time. The true vipers are the word and the spirit. John 4:23. The hour cometh and now is when the true worshiper will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. No doubt tomorrow night, unless the Lord leads different, we'll go right on to this 14th chapter. John looked, and lo, I saw a lamb. Not something that looked like a lamb, but a lamb. And with him the 144,000. We'll prove to you that that was not some people over in heaven. As people here on the earth, standing on Mount Zion, the same Mount Zion the morning church stood, proved by the Bible who the 144,000 is. And if you know you're a child of God and been washed in his blood, I'll prove to you in the scripture you're one of them. That's a symbolic number. I'll give you this much to think on. People saying there are only going to be 144,000 saved. Basically, Jehovah's Witnesses tell you that. Only going to be 144,000 saved, and they've already went to heaven. They say even they ain't going to make it. Foolishness. 144,000 is a symbolic number. Even a 666 is a symbolic number. Would you say there's only 666 Catholics? There's millions of them. 144,000 is a symbolic number. We'll tell you who it includes. There's scripture to make it clear who it includes. So we see this beast tonight is a deceptive thing. Deceptive thing. People are laboring hard. Somebody said, Brother Wilson, I can't believe that God would let them be lost if they are sincere. I pictured a picture of sincerity tonight that ought to brought tears to your eyes. Martin Luther laying on a stone cell floor, One period he never come out of for 7 weeks. Didn't eat for three of them. What for? Trying to show God he was sorry, he said, for his sin. Sincerity is no good unless it's according to truth. Be just as sincere you want in Protestantism. But brother, all the time you're being sincere, the devil's working a deception right back of him. You're putting your efforts in, your time, your finance, and efforts in at something, trying to build up something that God said is fallen. Only one thing to do. The Bible's only got one message for Babylon. Come out of her, my people. See, that's why they don't want you to come down and preach. There's only one message you can preach down there. And they don't want to hear that. For you can't buy or sell. May God help us. I might ask this tonight. I realize I'm slow in the head. Is there questions on these scriptures I've dealt with? Is there questions? No questions? Let me say this to you before I dismiss you. Let's have a deeper appreciation for the truth. One scripture. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Remember, God in heaven saw Martin Luther shed tears and pray, God, if I only had a book like that.